I've got to take a moment before we get started today to let you know that I have two incredible investment opportunities for you this month. We're accepting investors for the first one right now. In partnership with Five Talents Commercial Real Estate, I'm excited to offer you the chance to invest in 279 apartment units in McAllen, Texas. You'll start receiving distributions after two full quarters' time. With distributions over 9% after year one and an internal rate of return of 13.68%, this is a passive income opportunity that you don't want to miss, not to mention the tax benefits involved. The McAllen Apartment Investment is a 506c offering, which means that it's only available for accredited investors. Space is limited, so it won't be long before this opportunity has passed. You'll find more information by clicking the investment portal link in the show notes. Now, the second offering is in self-storage, and it'll be available in the next couple of weeks. The best part is that you don't have to be accredited in order to invest. I'm excited to share more with you about that one, but I can only legally do that if you're on my private investor list. To get started, just click on my calendar link in the show notes to schedule a call with me. Now is the time to take charge of your financial future. Get ahead of inflation and start building passive income and growing your wealth today. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the Plan B CRNA podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Jones, and I'm so excited that you're here. The Plan B CRNA podcast is the only show made specifically for nurse anesthetists who are exploring options outside of their traditional career paths. This is the place to expand your mind and your goals as we uncover new ways to produce side income together. Join me for some honest, unscripted discussions with other CRNAs who are transforming their financial lives. This episode is brought to you by OnCall Capital. OnCall Capital is dedicated to educating CRNAs and other healthcare providers about investing outside of the traditional stock market. OnCall Capital also provides opportunities for you, yes, you, to create passive income and generational wealth while also lowering your taxable income through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. If you haven't hit subscribe yet, make sure you do that right now so that you don't miss an episode. Thanks so much for joining me today. And now, on with the show. Welcome to another Provider Spotlight episode of the Plan B CRNA podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Jones, and my guest today has enjoyed a pretty remarkable anesthesia career so far. She also happened to live on a sailboat for 22 years, so that's pretty adventurous in my book. Now, over the last 30 years, Alicia Quante has worked as a 1099 RN and then a 1099 CRNA. As a result, she's had complete control of her schedule while purchasing benefits for competitive rates, setting her pay rate by negotiating independently, and saved much more in her retirement accounts than she otherwise would have. Alicia's also She's also been able to avoid workplace politics and experience many other freedoms associated with being a 1099 independent contractor. So, Alicia, it's great to have you on the show today. I didn't even get half of that, but you've got a masterclass now where you're going to be teaching people step by step how to smoothly transition from the W-2 status to the freedoms of that 1099 lifestyle. So I'm happy to dive right in here.
100%, Bobby. I mean, I love teaching other people how to do what I've done for so many years, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought everybody was doing this. I thought so many people were 1099 already. And, you know, I just kept coming across friends that were saying, now, how do you do the 1099 thing? And I'm not sure. And is it really stable? And, you know, and it's like so stable. It's just like any CRNA job, you know, mm-hmm. once you're credentialed, you're in, they need you. Where else are they going to get help?
Yeah.
Especially today's market. Right.
So, yeah. Well, and yeah. I mean, so let's talk about some of that because, you know, most nurses and CRNAs, they take jobs near their home and they kind of settle in for the long haul.
Sure.
They have a fear of being a traveler. So what made you go against that grain from the very beginning?
Right. Well, you know, like you were saying, I did live aboard a sailboat. I always said I wanted to have a sailboat before I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
As a teenager, excuse me. Yeah. My husband, he came from a family of sailors and I loved sailing with them, and they lived two doors down from my mom. So I kind of met him when I was 14. And so, yeah, he was into muscle cars and stuff, and I would go sailing with his family. And so I always dreamed of living aboard a sailboat. They had Cruising World magazine. And so, You know, by the time I was ready to go to UGA, I had decided I wanted a sailboat.
Oh, wait a second. You're a UGA grad?
I am.
I didn't look into this. Woo! This is total missed out because I am a gator.
You're like bark at graduation.
I'm a gator. So no
All
wonder,
right.
No wonder you loved the red and black earphones.
Right. And no wonder you love my fingernails.
Absolutely. Orange and blue, baby.
It's perfect.
So anyway.
So then I graduated from UGA and I was like, let's move aboard, you know? So we had been buying that sailboat the whole time while I was in college and we went ahead and moved aboard. We sailed to the Bahamas. This was like in the late 80s. And we lived there for like 6 months at a time. And then we'd sail back. And I mean, we were kids. We didn't have any money. I had a degree in zoology. And I kept meeting all these nurses. And I was like, this is so cool. So that's how I was like, I just want to be a nurse. I mean, a degree in zoology, I could identify like the trigger fish and, you know, what were the edible fish and conch. I knew all the parts of the conch. I could make really good conch salad. But lo and behold, you know, I had to get serious at some point and make more money because I wanted a bigger boat, you know. And so it's always about the bigger boat, really, moving up. So I got a 37-foot sailboat, my husband and I did. And it had caught on fire and sunk, and we brought it back to life. He knows how to do all that stuff, like braid wires together and redo mahogany. And so I went to RN school. And after about 3 months, I became a 1099.
Okay.
I met a lady at lunch and she was like, you should as quick as you can become a float nurse. So see, I traveled within the hospital.
Okay.
As a float nurse.
I was going to ask because I know that there are a lot of travelers who actually settle down and they make sure that they take jobs that are kind of just outside of that radius that you have to be outside of for travel purposes and get that extra travel income while actually just driving to work.
Right. But actually, now I teach people how that is a bit of a fallacy, actually, because really and truly, if you go to the IRS website and you read the code on that, it's not officially that. That's a little bit, honestly, of hearsay, because the good news is, you know, you can deduct all of your travel when you have a home office because you roll out of bed, right?
Yeah.
And then you're in your office. And now it's time to drive to work. And so that's mileage. And actually, vehicle expenses and mileage are the biggest tax deduction that anybody can take as a 1099. And that's the beauty of 1099. And I figured it out immediately, is that besides making 40% more money, all these expenses, you know, that normally you were paying out of W-2 money, now you can pay for them out of your 1099 gross income. It reduces your taxable income. So now you have a net business income, right? And then you take all your standard deduction. If you want to itemize, you can do that. But most 1099ers do itemize because then you can also deduct the health insurance again as well. And then half of your self-employment insurance.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that you can deduct half of your self-employment insurance. They're like, oh gosh, I got to pay twice the FICA. But they're not thinking about you get to deduct half of that.
Yeah.
You know, so it all adds up that with retirement contributions, HSA. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, but yeah.
No. Well, that's great though, because, you know, you really have to dive into some numbers here when you're considering these opportunities, you know, that you may have.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to these deductions, it's, you know, of course, it's about the numbers and the mileage and, you know, all of these kinds of things. But, you know, you also have to think about the time. And so, you know, a lot of traveling nurses, they can make a really great living, but plenty of them get tired of that grind because they're constantly away from their family or you know, they want to settle down and they don't want to sacrifice that income. So ultimately, that kind of pushes them to decide on maybe becoming a nurse practitioner or a CRNA or a, you know, a 1099 or W-2 employee if they want to settle down. But if you don't want to sacrifice the income that you're already making, then that's a big decision to make.
It is. And honestly, the way I break it down in my class is that anybody can be a 1099 CRNA and raise your children in your neighborhood that you grew up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to travel outside of your area. You don't have to. There's so much 1099 work out there. In fact, on the very first unit, I have a 10 unit course. Can you believe I created like a 10 unit masterclass? I don't even know. I can't even believe I did that, but I did.
Well, hey, I mean, there's gotta be a lot to it though. I mean,
there's a lot to it. I mean, I filled it up with no trouble at all because there's learning to negotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody teaches us so many of the things that I teach in that class. I teach how CRNAs are reimbursed, mm-hmm. how their productivity calculation that the people who hire CRNAs use. You know, to me, we should have gotten that in school. Maybe some people did. I didn't. And most of my enrollees, they didn't either. So I teach that. I spend 2 hours teaching negotiation. And then.
And even when you're applying for a W-2 position, it's not like you can't negotiate those rates. I remember applying for a position and they made an initial offer. And I said, you know, that's lower than I was expecting. Can we, you know, meet somewhere? Right. I was thinking of this, you know,
exactly.
And then they came back and we kind of went somewhere in the middle.
And they're like, yeah, we need help, please.
Yeah, they were more than happy to accommodate the request that I made. And so that's something that we're not always taught that, you know what, hey, you're an asset to these companies. You have to fight for it because in that beginning, that's when you're getting that job, when you're taking whatever position it is, that's your time to negotiate. You're not going to get another chance.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And so many people just don't seem to realize, you know, the research shows that about 70% of the entire world population never, ever negotiates. They walk in, they're like, how much? They say, like, how much are y'all offering? And then they go, okay. And then that's it. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I teach people to step outside of the box. I teach a calculated method to negotiation so that when you walk in, I give them all kind of tips of how to set it up, what day of the week to do it. Actually, there's an ideal day of the week. There's an ideal time of day. And there's an ideal way that you go about it. So it took me years to figure this out. But the other thing I do is I learned a long time ago how to find the jobs. And you're not finding the jobs by looking at recruiter ads. The jobs are all around you. They're everywhere around you. It's shocking how much work there is for CRNAs. And so I teach them, I created a little app that I utilize on the very first unit. And I show them how to go about step by step and just identifying all the locations and then the way that you go about getting in there to talk to the right people so that you can slide on in and get to work. Because let me just tell you, as a W-2, when you're working in that hospital, there ain't one CRNA who's a 1099er that's working out in these surgery centers or doctor's offices or clinics that's going to come walking into that hospital and say, hey, let me tell you all about this cool job I've got.
Yeah. So you know? I guess the question is then what made you want to share that with other people? I mean, you make a good living as a CRNA, as most do.
Yeah.
You know, what was it about this lifestyle that you just could not contain within yourself? You had to share it with other people.
Well, I've always felt very suffocated by all of the people when you go work in a hospital, and also the fact there are no windows. Now in Florida, there's a lot of windows at these hospitals, so it's not everywhere. But honestly, what really happened is my friends have always asked me how I do it. How it's like a mystery. I'd go, you know, go pop in and out of the hospitals, you know, and they'd be like, how do you do this? How do you go about doing it? And I saw the oppression that some of them were working under these physicians that were sitting in these offices, not really doing a lot, and more power to them if that's what they signed up for. But meanwhile, breaks aren't given. you know, anesthetists that are W-2 are having to comply with, you know, staying late when, you know, these guys are not, or gals are not really helping them at all. And it's just, you know, my heart goes out to so many anesthetists that feel trapped, especially, I want to say, moms and dads who would like to spend a little more time, like maybe go to the play with their kid. And maybe they're working in an environment that's toxic, where the chief CRNA isn't creating that situation where they can do that. So I'm letting them know, no, you have options, and just get out there and explore your options. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. So you can free yourself, you can free your life, you can go if you want to bike, if you want to kayak, if you want to hike, if you want to travel, if you want to spend time with your kids, just hanging out at the park, you know, you can do it within your own hometown. And there's great opportunities at like critical access hospitals slightly outside of town as well. So, I mean, there's just so many opportunities. So, so I just couldn't contain it. And the other thing too, is, you have traveled a lot because I lived aboard a boat.
Yeah.
You know, and so that had me geared towards being 1099 as a traveler. But you know, the funny thing is, we kept settling down at marinas for like 8 years at a time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So that's a little different then. Yeah.
I mean, so I would have to get into there in these towns and discover what was around me and go in there and speak to like the practice managers or the directors of nursing and just go ahead and figure out what's going on in there. And sure, you know, they provide procedures. You can call anywhere. Hey, do y'all do this in your office? They do. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Somebody's got to give the anesthesia, and they may not even have somebody to give the anesthesia. So I just felt like it's falling off of a log. And so many anesthetists and nurses can be empowered by this. Yeah. So I just want to free people. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, and I mean, I don't want to get you in trouble here, but what's your favorite region of the country that you enjoy working in? Like, do you have a favorite place that you enjoy working? And
I actually, you know, I like working in multi-specialty surgery centers. My favorite ever place that I worked was in Palm Beach County.
Okay.
At Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. And it was a Palm Beach Garden Surgery Center. I'm sorry, not the medical center. That place was, anyway.
I'm trying to not get you in trouble.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. No. But I do want to say, you know, starting this education for nurse anesthetists to inspire them and to show them a different way, I tell them, you know what? That W-2 job isn't going anywhere. You're risking nothing by trying something different.
Yeah.
You know, the shortage is goes from nursing to CRNA. There's an aging of the population. Mm-hmm. So people retiring, especially after COVID, a lot of people who weren't even retirement age are retiring. It gave them an opportunity, right?
I'm preaching
to the choir.
You know, I'm 41 and I'm not in it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And part of that was because of issue with some childcare. I had a slowdown in my 1099 work, and I had already figured out how to live leaner. And so making a transition to rely on passive income for me, what worked for my family, and I can be home with my kids and walk them to school and stuff like that. But not everybody.
So rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for me.
But see, 1099.
Not everybody's going to make that decision.
1099 is the first step to financial freedom. Mm-hmm. I am not even kidding. 1099 does it because you're making more money. You're paying less taxes. Mm-hmm. And then you learn how to run a business, and then all of a sudden things just work out. All of a sudden you're doing something. Okay. Here's an example. You know, I've been 1099 a long time, and I was only W-2 for a few months as a CRNA. I tried it. I was like, good God, I can't do this, you know, guilt trips. So anyway, you know, somebody approached me a while back about a pain clinic, And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'll check it out. And then I didn't hear anything for months. And these people called me and they said, you know, we heard you were interested in this pain clinic. And I said, I am, if I guess, you know, what do you got going? So they needed anesthesia, sedation. That's the growing thing right now. So I'm like, great. Yeah. So I set that up, got that going. Now I negotiated it very high so I could hire 1099 CRNAs and pay them a great living.
That's really cool.
And that worked out well. It gives a 1099 CRNA another location that is out of the hospital. It's variety. And to me, that's it. Like right now, I'm at an eye center. I'm at a GI center. I'm at a, I'm actually only working like 1 or 2 days a week right now, but I'm at a plastic center occasionally. And isn't there one more? I feel like I work at four places. The hospital I quit working.
it's hard to keep track of sometimes though.
The pain clinic. I've been filling in at the pain clinic. Yeah. And then now another pain clinic group came up to me. So now I'm setting up five pain clinics.
Very nice.
So that's how it works though. Yeah. I just want people to know that once they become 1099, they can do their side gig. They could give their side gig the same priority they give their other work. They can cut back on their spending, just like you did. They can roll it back. And yet now they've got the structure, just like you did, set up so that it's very easy to make that move into a side gig so that you can, CRNA life is fun. It's good. Yeah. It's enjoyable to give care to these people. And then they go to sleep and you talk about the movies and you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and I enjoy, I mean, you know, I worked 1099 for 3 years and I worked at GI clinics and eye centers and plastic surgery centers. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It taught me how to run a business and be consistent with it.
Bingo.
So that was something that I've carried on with me into my next venture. And so it was a very valuable set of lessons that I learned there. All about the deductions, you know, when you talk about the mileage and the home office and all that stuff, I did all that stuff. And it's really neat when you get into it.
So, and then when you can look back after you've done it for a year, you go, okay, why haven't I been doing it? Why haven't I? And then you go, I can't go back. But then if you want to renew your friendships with your W-2 peeps, then you're still credentialed. Yeah. I always tell folks 6 months out, you are still credentialed at that place you were W-2. So just give them a call and say, hey, vacation time's coming up, I know. And I'll be glad to fill in some shifts if you guys need it, you know?
Yeah, I think that was one of the things for me with the 1099 work, the facilities I was working at, you're, you know, the only CRNA. And so you lose a lot of contact. Like one of the things I did enjoy about my W-2 job was the camaraderie that we had as a collective group.
Yes.
And so I wonder if you have a perspective on how you build that. You were kind of maybe touching on it a little bit there, but let's, if you wouldn't mind expanding on that.
Absolutely. Well, this is the thing. There's a network of 1099ers, number one. Like I know 1099ers all over Savannah now. I didn't used to, but now I do because I'm back home from Florida, you know, to raise my kids. And it's like they kind of get in touch with you. You find out about them. You talk to each other. There's a lot of networking and you may not know anyone but a name. And then one day you meet them. One day you need coverage. You reach out and call them and you meet them. And so that's one type of camaraderie. But popping in and out of the hospitals is also so important too, if you want to. But I do want to say, you do not have to work in a hospital. You don't have to. There's no requirement for you to work in a hospital. But if you wanted to go, like, say, work at a critical access hospital, you meet these wonderful people. Yeah, they may not all, they may, none of them may be CRNAs except your partner person at a critical access hospital. Usually that's a split position unless you know, you're filling in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just find so much joy in bouncing from group to group. They don't have to be a CRNA for me to love working with them. you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it really does depend on the places you find and finding the right fit for you.
That's right.
You know,
and that's the beauty of 1099 is you can try this. You can, if that doesn't work, you could try another, but the key is learning to shed the fear and step forward into what works for you and your family. That is so important to recognize that maybe you've left that behind. We set things aside for our family so much, we get used to it, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I teach in my class. That's part of what I teach is how to overcome that. And I love that. I feel like I get so much appreciation that it has inspired me. I am stunned, literally, that what I've taught has inspired people. So that brings me so much joy. You know,
I mean, no, that's really cool. And I think, you know, you talking about kind of the first steps involved with making the move to 1099, I think you're right there in saying that you have to take that first courageous step and say, I'm going to do this. I've got to just figure out how.
Exactly. And the intention.
Yeah.
Just like you did with the apartment. She said, I've got to slow down. I've got to feed my family. I've got to keep things together. What am I going to do? And then you make it your mission.
Yeah.
And then it gets to be like, hey, this is kind of fun. And that's how 1099 is. Once you've made it your mission, then you're like, hey, where do I want to go next? You know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
It's really neat. So
I love it.
I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more about your courses. So you said there's 10 units. Yes. How are those set up? How is it all structured?
So I have two educational platforms. And, you know, when a person enrolls in my class, the first thing that happens, they get an orientation email, and then they join, they get an invitation, and they're invited to a private Facebook group that's an educational group. Mm-hmm. So right now, there is a little under 200 people in that group. Those are enrollees. They have a year membership to that group.
Okay.
And so this is a group that I post the stuff that I've learned. Every now and then I put stuff in there. And then also when I record a class, because I do classes on Zoom, like you and I are talking, it's just like this. And then we just, I Zoom it, I stream it onto the Facebook group. And so if people want to watch it from the group, they can. Or I also have another educational platform that I put it on as well, just a couple of hours later. And then they could go to that and speed it up by 1.25.
yes.
Especially if they're not from down south. That would drive me nuts having to get through. I mean, you know, so I always tell people, I'm like, listen, it will not hurt my feelings. You know, if you want to come to some of the live classes too, it's like the Brady Bunch, you know, we're all looking. I mean, there's like so many people. That doesn't hurt my feelings. And I'm like, you're a member for a year. You can come to any of these classes live. But then what's really great is I have speakers that talk about health insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, malpractice insurance. I've got two financial advisors that have completely different strategies. I have two to three, depending on the week and the month, CPAs that come in. So every week there's a class for that month. And then because it's 10 weeks, there's a class from the prior month.
Okay.
And then during that month, there's also one or two classes from the prior month. So I teach three cohorts at a time. And then we have a speaker that week. And then on a weekend day, usually Sunday around 5, I do a Q&A where I'm available for anybody to come in. And then I give out calendar links for people to, you know, if they need some coaching or, you know, anything, they need help setting up their budget, setting up their bookkeeping, you know, figuring out what to talk to the CPA about, figuring out what to do with their investments, although I'm not an investment strategist. I also have Jan Menino. This is like my crowning glory. Jan Menino, who has been, you know, Jan Menino.
Oh, yeah.
I could not believe it when she accepted to be a speaker. And she teaches two classes. She teaches reimbursement and contracts.
Oh, fantastic.
It's awesome. And now she and I are putting together another course that we're launching in January. And that is how to open up your own office-based anesthesia practice. So you can get out there and sell yourself and say, hey, I'm going to set up your anesthesia, you know, with the mm-hmm. forms and the records. And
yep.
So you don't have to do anything. You get the whole kit and then you go. And
see, and that's such a value to people who are looking to do this stuff, because you can find forms all over the place, and they're just different in all kinds of ways. But to have something that is, you know, soup to nuts and cohesive and all together in one place is a very powerful tool.
And then mentorship, because like mm-hmm. I've opened practices, Jan has opened practices for 60 years. I mean, I'm just saying, like,
That's incredible.
She is an icon.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing before I know we got to wrap it up soon, but I just want to tell you, did you know that Jan is one of the people that negotiated with Health and Human Services that because CRNAs were already being billed with time units and base units, mm-hmm. I mean, no, doctors, anesthesiologists, physician anesthesiologists, that because we deliver the same services mm-hmm. that we should be able to bill as well.
Yeah.
And they accepted that in the 70s. They accepted it. Yeah. And so, boom.
We truly stand on the shoulders of giants. That's for
indeed.
Sure.
Indeed. Icons.
I mean, that was something, you know, that I learned early on in my anesthesia careers. There's so many people who have fought and fought and fought for this career field to continue to.
And it's just blossomed,
thrive.
Right?
It has. Yeah. It has, because there's such a need for what it is that, you know,
that we have.
Anesthesia providers give.
Absolutely.
And so I just think it's this program is such a cool thing. It's like the kind of the next step that, you know, the kind of the evolution in education that is needed for working in the reality,
the real world,
you know,
right?
the environment that is actually happening in healthcare, because it's a lot more fractionalized than perhaps it used to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
why not bring them together? We have people from all over the country in each class, and they're like talking to each other during Q&As, and it's just mm-hmm. so vibrant, I have to say. It's just amazing. So you should take my class, Bobby.
maybe. We'll have to see.
Been there, done that. That's
yeah. Okay.
But I do want to tell you that about 60% of my enrollees are 1099ers already.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, they want to, they're not getting that tax benefit that they should be.
Yeah.
So they take my class to optimize it. So that's
no, and I think it's likely a great value for a lot of people, because a lot of people just go into 1099 because they, you know, well, everybody talks about 1099. I should probably do it, but there's no guidance.
Right.
And you really don't learn about it in your educational program.
100%.
So I do think that this is such a valuable asset to the anesthesia community. So, I mean, it's, I want to give people a chance to get a hold of you and learn more about your course. So how can they do that?
Yeah, actually, they can just reach out to me on Facebook.
Okay.
They'll notice I have two personas, and that's because I got kicked off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I kept answering people, and they thought, I guess Facebook thought I was a spammer, but I was like answering all these people.
Don't lie. It was all those memes you post, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, all those things, you know. but I'm actually only on Facebook. I have not grown into the other platforms yet.
Okay.
So they can just reach out to me on Facebook, and I'm glad to answer any questions. I'm glad to get on a Zoom discussion. Mm-hmm. And I set aside the time to do this. My husband, my two teenagers, they are very understanding of my passion to do this. I just want to empower anesthetists. And I'm actually starting to teach registered nurses this too, because I came from that, and mm-hmm. I want to give back to them too.
Yeah.
So that's starting this month. Thank you.
Very neat.
So, love it.
Yeah. I love your energy, Alicia. I want to like bottle some of this up, and I need some of that.
I appreciate it. Here. It's Topo Chico.
I'm looking for sponsorship opportunities from my Okay, and I'm drinking a.
But
a
I am going to tell you. Let me tell you something.
I've got my lime LaCroix here.
Oh, those are good. Exactly. It's kind of the same thing, really, mm-hmm. isn't it? But it's funny. My professor in physiology at UGA, he said, "You're the one that keeps laughing, right?" Because I kept hee-hawing, whatever. And I was like, "Yeah, I guess that would be." And he said, "I just wish I could capture that chemically and sell it."
Yeah.
Wow, thanks. You know, I think.
No, that's I tell you, it's infectious. That's a good kind of infection.
That is a good thing.
In the time of pandemics, we want to make sure it's a good type of infectious.
Absolutely. That's the kind of infection you want to get.
Yeah.
Laughter, yeah. Right? Yeah, I have fun. I really do. And I have loved this medium of mm-hmm. Zoom. Isn't it awesome?
It is. It's remarkably easy. And just so user friendly, and I've enjoyed it. I mean, of course, there's a lot more that I need to learn as far as, you know, presentations and webinars and things like that, but it's not hard to get into.
Well, I love what you've done. I mean, I love what you've taken care of, and you're taking people by the hand and showing them how to manage apartments, how to invest properly, how to do it safely. I mean, this is what is so important, is that all of these things are really safe for you to do. It's you're not putting your family at risk mm-hmm. by trying these things. These are tried and true, and you have mentors. You're a mentor for this, Bobby, and this is what people need. It's what people want. And so I'm glad that you're doing it as well. That's
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That was very kind words at the end of this show.
True.
So
it's true.
It's been so, so fun having you on the show today.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
And happy Halloween.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the kids dressing up. So
I know,
it's going to be fun.
It is fun.
But
all right.
Best of luck to you and your business. And we'll definitely keep in touch.
Let's do this again.
Yeah, for sure. I want to catch up with you later on down the line.
Let's do it. That would be great. Well, thanks, Bobby. And I'll talk to you soon then.
The only exposure that I ever received related to the actual business and billing of anesthesia was through a conference presentation here and there and some networking. This is simply not enough, and a streamlined process for healthcare business education specific to anesthesia is more and more relevant as healthcare continues to evolve. CRNAs must continue to look ahead to changes that are coming and be ready for potential upheavals. It's so clear that additional education is required on top of what you see in traditional programs, and efforts to streamline that education can produce real results. Alicia is tapping into that with her 1099 Success Academy, as are other CRNAs with other specialties. What other niches are you seeing pop up around you? Ketamine clinics, opioid-free anesthesia, IV therapy, dental anesthesia, aesthetics? Find out who is stepping in to fill those educational gaps, and I'll show you someone who is building a successful business. That's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure you reach out if you're interested in learning more about the McAllen apartment offering mentioned at the beginning of this episode. Until next time, be safe and take care of each other out there. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Plan B CRNA podcast. If you haven't already subscribed and reviewed the show, I'd be honored if you took the extra time. It really helps to expand our reach and get the word out about the show. If you're a CRNA who is interested in sharing your story on our podcast, I'd love to have you. Please email me at bobby@oncallinvestments.com for more information. This episode was brought to you by OnCall Capital. They are dedicated to helping providers like you develop passive income and generational wealth through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. Feel free to check out their website at www.oncallinvestments.com and subscribe to their free educational email series. You can find OnCall Capital on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our YouTube page, where you'll find all of the show episodes along with other educational videos. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.